The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Wow, you talk about a Freudian slip there. That was from a couple of weeks ago. I remember when I first saw that, I just kind of laughed and then moved on. But the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. And now you look at what's happening. I'm sure he still would stand by the fact that he misspoke, and he probably did. But you look up Freudian slip. I just saw a definition at a website. It says it's a verbal or memory mistake that is believed to be linked to the unconscious mind. These slips supposedly reveal the real secret thoughts and feelings that people hold. We've all made mistakes. We've all misspoke. But when you think about this particular candidate for president, all that we've witnessed, he's now got the most votes in the history of a presidential election. Somehow. Some way, the basement strategy worked. Tens of millions of people from all over the world. Well, all over the United States, I should say. You start looking back to that statement the Pennsylvania Attorney General said, Josh Shapiro. He tweeted out, if all the votes are added up in Pennsylvania, keep in mind, this was before the election. He said, if all the votes are added up in Pennsylvania, Trump is going to lose. This is not some commentator on MSNBC. This is the Pennsylvanian Attorney General. And he's saying beforehand, you add up all the votes and Donald Trump is going to lose. It says that's why he's working overtime to subtract as many votes as possible from this process. He's referring to the fact that Pennsylvania basically extended the election day 3 days. 3 days, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and the Supreme Court of the United States just basically maintained a hands-off policy, hoping, I'm sure, that it wouldn't return to the U.S. Supreme Court. And now, of course, that's where it looks like it's going. Because what we're witnessing is voter fraud on a mass scale. You look at these states. They're still undecided. They still haven't been able to count all the votes. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia. What's happening in Nevada? What's happening in these states? This is not the morning after the election. We went into the show yesterday thinking, well, we'll probably find out results even right during this show or right after the show. And then another 24 hours goes by. And here we are. And now all the lawyers from both sides, they're preparing for litigation. You just go back to that election night before the freeze, before several states together decided to stop counting. Most Americans, you know, you get to 1:30, and then you start hearing the announcements. The Philadelphia precincts, they're sending their people home. They're going to get a good 8 hours of sleep, come back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and so everything just shuts down. Most of America goes to bed. They wake up they go to bed. Keep in mind, when they go to bed, Donald Trump is ahead in North Carolina by 1.5. He's ahead in Georgia by 2.5. He's got a 4-point lead in Wisconsin. He's got a 7.5 lead in Michigan and an incredible 14% lead in Pennsylvania. Most of America goes to bed, and then when they wake up, poof, magically, Joe Biden is, well, he's ahead. He's ahead in Wisconsin and Michigan, at least. And now, look, he's making great gains in Pennsylvania. He's making great gains in Georgia. And they're all coming out of Atlanta and Philadelphia and Detroit and Milwaukee, all the big cities. And guess what about big cities? Across the board, the urban turnout was actually fairly low for this election. As the stats start to come in, Cleveland had a low turnout. Most big cities were in that category, except for Milwaukee, except for Detroit, except for Philadelphia, except for Atlanta. Those cities in these crucial battleground states, I mean, they're turning out tens of thousands of additional votes. There's some precincts, I forget if it's Wisconsin or Michigan, there's actually more votes than people registered as voters. How do you explain this? Well, they're finding votes all over the place in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Wisconsin had a voter turnout of nearly 90%. And just looking at the number of registered voters, the voter turnout nearly 90%, the highest it's been previous to this election, 70%. Generally, it's down around 50 to 60. A high voter turnout would, off the charts voter turnout would be approaching 70%. This election, 90%. Can you believe it? It says here, this is a tweet from a commentator, reported Wisconsin voter turnout in 2020 is so high that it can only be viewed as a virtual statistical impossibility. It's a 5.5 standard deviations from the mean. It's a black swan. You'd never expect to see it in this world, at least not in the United States. I mean, you see it in Russia. You'll see it in China. You'll see it in Venezuela. 90% turnout. And they all vote for Putin. Or they all vote for Xi Jinping. Or at least most of them. I mean, even those authoritarians will throw in a few other names just to make it seem like it was legitimate. But in the case of that one ballot dump in Michigan, what was it, 133,000 votes? Not one vote for President Trump. Not one vote. 100%. 100-0. I mean, this is out of the mind of Peter Strzok. He's going to win it 100,000,000-0. That's the way, even the cheating is laughable. And they're hoping to get away with it. The Trump team, though, is lawyering up. They're gonna come back later and write books about that time period between about 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. when everybody went to sleep, when those people working at those precincts in those big cities, they took off. And then the trucks started showing up. And then the bag full of ballots. Thousands of ballots. The Federalist writes, then another mysterious all-Biden vote dump happened in Wisconsin. Biden miraculously overcame a 4.1-point Trump lead in the middle of the night thanks to vote dumps in which he got, you guessed it, 100% of the votes. And Trump got zero. And so his lead in all these states evaporated overnight. He watched a 200,000 vote lead in Michigan disappear. As all these votes started, incredible turnout in Detroit, Wayne County, all kinds of voters there, not in Cleveland. Not so much in other big cities. But for whatever reason, they surely did show up in Detroit. Yeah, Michigan, 138,339 votes, and Donald Trump got zero. Michigan's also where you saw images, some of you, yesterday. Detroit's absentee ballot counting center, and how they were putting up covers over the windows. Well, they didn't want people to look in. They don't want to be monitored. They certainly don't want someone to come in and make sure there's no funny business going on. So just board up the windows and count, make all the counts official under the cover of darkness. That's Detroit, Michigan. John James and the president tweeted out about this. He went to bed ahead by 10 points in Michigan. This is an up-and-coming star in the Republican Party. And yet here again, a batch of 35,000 ballots just randomly turned up at the absentee counting station in Detroit. All of these ballots. Philadelphia, same story. A batch of 23,000, all for Biden. Surprise, surprise. Have you heard any reports on the media or in social media about batches of votes for Donald Trump? 100% for Donald Trump? Here's the Federalist once again. It says, Pennsylvania is relying on the Democratic Secretary of State's plan to count indisputably late mail-in ballots as though they were received on Election Day, even if they have no postmark. So they can roll in, well, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Forget about Election Day. There's no deadline. We're just going to stretch this out. And what did Hillary say? What did Joe Biden say? We played the clip yesterday. Look, just be patient, folks. We'll find the votes. We'll find the votes somehow or another. Don't you worry. We'll wait it out and we'll win this in the end. Here's the Pennsylvania governor, the Democrat. Yesterday, talking about how that every single ballot's going to be counted. Clip two.
You know, the promise of democracy is that every vote counts. And that has been the promise of democracy since 1787. And it's still the promise of democracy. And I intend here in Pennsylvania to make sure we keep that promise. So, as I said, counties continue to report results. And again, these results are coming in more slowly than they have in the past. So we have to be patient, but confident that these votes are going to be counted. They're going to be counted accurately, and they will be counted fully. The delay that we're seeing is a sign that the system is working.
Yeah, right. Everything's working great. The longer the delay, the more of a sign that is that, hey, everything's working just fine. Now, 45 states got everything done, or almost 45. Florida, like I mentioned yesterday, they counted through 12 million. That's about twice the number of some of these other states. 12 million, and as you'll hear later, Governor DeSantis said the network should have called it in Florida at 8:30. As it was, they waited hours. They waited hours. So it's all a coordinated attack against Israel. I'm not even going to say President Trump. It's what we've been saying all through this year and years previous to this even. Satan's objective here is to blot out Israel. That's what he wants to do. You can see it in 2 Kings 14. You can see it in other prophecies, Psalm 83. He just wants to wipe out the United States of America. And if not for God's intervention, it would have happened already. Yeah, the delay is a sign of everything working. It's working. You know what they mean by that? Is their plan to harvest ballots. It is working perfectly. And notice he emphasizes the same thing Hillary did, Joe Biden. Hey, we've got to be patient. Just wait. If we're behind by 700,000, you know how we win? Patience. Patience. And every ballot, no matter where it comes from, it's going to be counted. And it just so happens that all these mystery ballots, they're for Joe Biden. There's no trucks. There's no trucks arriving at these precinct stations with a bundle of Trump votes. Here's the rest of what Governor Tom Wolf had to say in Pennsylvania, clip three.
And there are 3 million millions of mail-in ballots that are being counted. And that takes longer than the way we used to do it with the stand-in in-person voting. So we may not know the results even today, but the most important thing is that we have accurate results again, even if that takes a little longer than we're used to.
So that's him yesterday saying we might not get the results today, being Wednesday. Here we are, Thursday morning. Still no. I mean, the Trump team's already declared victory in Pennsylvania. And of course, this is rejected by the Biden camp. And so it looks like it's headed for the courts. You know, the other thing that's interesting about Pennsylvania is you've got all this corruption, and they have a history of it in Philadelphia, by the way. We might touch on that a little bit later. In fact, we have an excellent article at thetrumpet.com by Joel Hilliker just from July of last year, July 23rd, 2019, The Democrats' Conspiracy to Steal Elections. You should go read that later on today. But in Philadelphia, you've got this tug of war between Philadelphia, which wants to harvest ballots, and then some of the smaller counties, which actually do have votes, more votes for Donald Trump, and they're putting off their count because they know Philadelphia wants to wait this out and get all the other counties tabulated so that they can understand then the bottom line and know how many extra votes they've got to go find, you see? And the smaller counties are wise to it. So they're holding off. Well, we're not going to and of course, through it all, Philadelphia's got to be careful, too, because you might end up like some of the precincts in Wisconsin and Michigan, where you actually have more votes, more ballots, than you do have registered voters. And so there's that going on. And then you've got the mad dash in Georgia, right around Atlanta, the big city. And they're closing the gap. Wouldn't you know it? In Biden's favor, they still don't have a final count either. They just can't get from 95% to 100%. Takes too long, I guess, to count a few hundred thousand ballots. That's in Georgia. And you know, Georgia, Stacey Abrams, just 2 years ago, she was running against an individual who used to be, I think, the state secretary or attorney general, I forget, of Georgia. But anyway, while he was in that office previous to being voted in as governor, he actually went in and cleaned up the voter rolls, you know, getting rid of all the people that had moved out of Georgia or that were dead. And the Democrats, they fight tooth and nail to prevent that from happening because it doesn't allow for them to cheat as easily. And to this day, I mean, here that governor won against Stacey Abrams fair and square. And to this day, no one's conceded. She still believes she's the governor. And there's plenty of Democrats that believe it as well. So if you just stand up for upholding the Constitution and clean up the rolls and make sure everything's legit, you know, legal votes, that's what brings a lot of accusations from the Democrats that you're cheating. And so it's back and forth, you see. This is from The Revolver. It says here, the margins in the decisive states are clear. As of early Wednesday morning, the president was up 300,000 votes in Michigan. He was up 110,000 in Wisconsin. He was up a staggering 700,000 in Pennsylvania. He holds clear leads in Georgia and North Carolina. And keep in mind, as I went through yesterday, that's after he had an incredible victory in Florida. Florida, back in 2016, he won by like 100,000 votes. The other night, it was by almost 500,000. And then he absolutely crushed the Biden team in Ohio. And the Ohio's right there in the Rust Belt. He won by like 8.2%, I believe. There's Ohio. It was a sign of things to come. Maybe not a complete and total, you know, red wave. But he was well on his way to a convincing victory. And yet, right alongside Ohio, the other Rust Belt states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, where he had these huge leads, As soon as Fox News calls it for Arizona, prematurely, by the way, Arizona has flipped. And then everybody stops counting. And then the Democrats regroup. And then they go to work finding a lot of extra votes. A lot of extra ballots, I should say. That's what we're seeing. It says here, despite a relentless defamation campaign by the press, censorship by big tech, riots by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the silent majority of Americans turned out to support their president. It's really remarkable. I mean, even the campaign that the Trump team put together, he threaded the needle everywhere that he was traveling. Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. What about that Pennsylvania rally just last Saturday? 58,000 people turning out in Butler. He went to Michigan. He went to Wisconsin. And as I said to you yesterday, it was shaping up to be an exact replay of 2016. George Stephanopoulos said so. It says only one thing remains to be done. So he's gone up against all this, a very similar, you know, thought as to what Victor Davis Hanson said earlier this week. I mean, he's against everybody. He's against every organization. He's against every powerful force. He has no help except the ordinary Americans voting for him and a strong hand from someplace. It says only one thing remains to be done to stop the left from executing its color revolution and stealing the election in the days to come. It says the mess in Pennsylvania shows how this revolution will unfold. The president's lead there is a staggering 14 percentage points, or it was. From the early hours of Tuesday night, it was clear that president was dramatically overperforming his polls in the Keystone State. And as votes poured in, his lead only grew and grew. But Democrats control Philadelphia and the state government, and they had a plan. Early Tuesday night, they stopped updating vote totals in Philadelphia and announced that they would only resume updates on Wednesday, with counting perhaps taking until Friday. It's going to take a long time. You heard the governor. And it's a sign that it's all working. It's really a sign. We've never heard this before. It's never taken this long to vote before. I mean, there's been disputes that have carried it on before, for sure. A 2000, for instance, Bush-Gore. But here, look at how difficult it is just to count. They want to make a big deal about what the president said, about what shouldn't be counted. Illegal votes. Or sham votes. Votes that aren't really votes. But the real scandal here is with respect to their counting, or lack thereof. They just stopped. They just stopped. We haven't heard a peep from North Carolina. Nothing. 2 days. What is happening in North Carolina? What we do know about North Carolina is that Pennsylvania was able to extend Election Day for 3 days, and I think North Carolina was able to extend it for 9 days. And so what they're all doing, it's a matter of wait and see. Are they going to need our state? James Carville said about North Carolina coming into this election, if Trump wins that, and that's going to be revealed early on election night, theoretically, if Trump wins North Carolina, it's over for Biden. That's what the famous Democrat strategist said coming into election night. And so North Carolina, deep into the night, all of a sudden, freeze. And they're still frozen. Because it may be that Biden needs that state. We don't know what's going to happen with Arizona yet. I think these states are all playing wait and see to see, you know, which domino drops first. Michigan and Wisconsin are already there, so they're about to drag. They're about to drag Joe Biden over the finish line with all of this ballot harvesting. And yet, I suppose maybe some of them are not wanting to make it so obvious that they're cheating, but there's been plenty of it already to this point. It says, this is a farce. It does not take 4 days to count ballots anywhere. It does not even take more than one night. Philadelphia and every other Democratic city could absolutely have counted every vote in the possession in its possession on Tuesday night. The only reason to delay the tally is to muddle the waters and provide Democrats with the necessary time to find the votes they need to win. Philadelphia is the exact city to do it. The city already has a proven track record of voter fraud. Now, if you go back to that article I mentioned, Joel Hilliker's piece from July of 2019, he refers to this Real Clear Investigations piece published, as I say, a year and a half ago. And at the early part of the article, he talks about the drive to just clean up the voter rolls. And he talks about just how many millions, I think there's, he says a 2012 Pew study found that 24 million voter registrations in the U.S. are no longer valid or are significantly inaccurate. So it's a matter of just, you know, cleaning it up. So Mr. Hilliker is talking about this Real Clear Investigation piece, and he says that the article presents the problem as if both Democrats and Republicans encourage illegal voting. But then he says, but every example in the article is about Democrats. Across the U.S., Democrats, including the Clinton and Obama administrations, have been engaging in a massive conspiracy to ignore voter registration laws and enable voter registration fraud. It is, by definition, stealing elections. This is something that they're good at. The thing about it now, though, is I don't think anybody could have imagined it would be on such a massive scale. They've been at it, though, for years. And really, when you start piecing it all together, putting together the timeline from election night, and then going back to what was said before the election. Play the shorter one. That's Joe Biden, clip 11.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
So if it's a Freudian slip, what I'm wondering, what was the word he was searching for? What word is close to fraud? He emphasized fraud. The most extensive voter fraud. Really is astounding. You think about some of those comments my father's made in recent years. You know, God setting a trap. Again, we don't know how this will unfold, but just judging by some, I suppose it could have some twists and turns along the way. But when you look at the history of these past 4 years, it seems like every time along the way, when the radical left thinks that they have him, we got him appointed, Mueller. He's coming down. He's going down, this Russian conspiracy. And by the way, where's all the election meddling? We heard a lot about that 4 years ago. Donald Trump, he wins the election, and then there are the Democrats saying, but he cheated. Russia helped him. Not a peep out of them this time. Now Joe Biden, he looks like he's right on the cusp of winning, and not even a peep about election interference. And yet it's just all over the place. And it's not coming from abroad. It's happening right here at home. Mr. Hilliker said last year, this is fertile ground for voter fraud. People voting more than once, voting in two states, casting votes for dead people, sneaking ineligible people through to vote. You think that there aren't operatives out there that have taken advantage of this? A lot of people, because of these certain states that just sent out mass ballots, a lot of addresses got more than one ballot just simply because of changing addresses. People that move from one house to the next. I think I still get mail at my house from people that have rented it out previously. So you get extra ballots. And if you know how the system works, you can harvest them along. That's happening on a mass scale. How else do you get a bag full, suitcases full, boxes full of 130 some odd thousand ballots? And they're all for Joe Biden. He's the most popular presidential candidate in the history of the United States. Fertile ground for fraud, it says. Well, he then talks about the voter rolls, that study from Pew. It says further on, so many Democrats are trumpeting their concern over free and fair elections. Why not start with the simple step of obeying federal law and updating voter rolls? Yet whenever anyone has tried to ensure that people don't illegally use dead people, illegal immigrants, and other fraud to steal elections, Democrats accuse them of stealing elections. Anyone that comes in and tries to uphold the law. And sure enough, if the Supreme Court has to do that with the illegal rules that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court put in place, you can be sure neither side is going to be happy with this outcome, and it's going to hurt America in the long term. But you can be sure that the Democrats will be screaming that it was rigged or that it was stolen if the Supreme Court has to intervene in the favor of the president. It says here, the Trump administration Department of Justice is starting to try to enforce voter registration laws. But before then, the last DOJ action was under George W. Bush. Over his 8 years in office, President Barack Obama did nothing. He doesn't want to clean up the voter rolls because that takes away one of their pathways to victory. If you can come up, if it's a hotly contested race, and you can come up with a few thousand votes out of thin air, that's no problem. Listen to what Mr. Hilliker said in an article at thetrumpet.com a year and a half ago. He concluded with this: the lawless movement, he highlighted, he was referring to some quotes from my father, the lawless movement, he highlighted, is becoming more and more active and visible. Watch for it as we approach the next presidential election. Watch for it, said the trumpet. What a disaster we create when we cast aside the rule of law and our leaders do whatever is right in their own eyes. What a disaster. And here we see now the disastrous outcome of the 2020 presidential election. When we come back, we'll try to roll through a few clips that we've accumulated from yesterday that I haven't had time to get to just yet. The hour is going by too fast. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times. But it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
I was really disappointed with how the networks handled the call of the state of Florida. The fact of the matter is, if you wanted to be aggressive like they were the other direction, you could have called it as soon as the early vote and mail ballots came in from Miami-Dade. There was no way Donald Trump was going to lose with just that number. I understand being a little bit more cautious, let some votes come in. But by 9:30, this was in the bag, and you had this drawn out, and there was a real resistance to just recognize reality. In fact, when they called it, there were fewer votes outstanding than the margin between the two candidates.
That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis saying that when they finally got around to calling Florida deep into the night, there were fewer votes outstanding than the margin between the two candidates. They refused to recognize reality. Because what had we been told going into Florida? Biden's up 4, Biden's up 6, Biden's up 7. This can't be. The first call of the night can't be Florida to Trump by 3 points. And so they waited, and they waited. Until they finally had to. Well, I guess we better go ahead. I mean, it's about to be 100%. Now, on the other hand, they were trigger happy to make the call for Arizona after just, I think, 65-70% of the vote. And all these votes left to come in from that day voting, which was overwhelmingly in favor of the president. Here again, it's a mystery to me why it's taking Arizona so long to count those. Something nefarious is going on. And we'll find out more. God's been exposing a lot in the last 4 years. And one of our listeners even emailed me this morning, following on what I just read to you from Joel Hilliker. It may be that he wants to expose the fraud in the U.S. election process. Because we've heard the stories, we've even seen the evidence from Philadelphia, from California, in the smaller races. But here they cried and screamed about election interference on a mass scale in 2016. And then now here we are in 2020, and we're actually seeing it. Even in these little details, he says, I was just disappointed that the networks refused to recognize reality. What we were seeing right in front of us, they wouldn't acknowledge it. And then he went on to talk about what Fox News did with Arizona, clip 5.
And I contrast that to an outlet like Fox News, which inexplicably calls Arizona without even a lot of the election vote being in from key areas where the president was likely to gather support. I think it was 70% of the precincts were reported. They jumped the gun on Arizona. A lot of the other networks still haven't gone for Arizona for that. So for Fox to be so resistant to calling Florida and yet jumping the gun on Arizona, I just thought was inexplicable. I don't think that was done without some type of motive, whether it's ratings, whether it's something else.
Yes, some kind of motive. Why would they do this? Now, you know, I mean, obviously President Trump has his fans on Fox News, Fox and Friends in the morning, and then Hannity and Tucker and Laura. But the management, the news team, certainly the election desk, there was no love for the president coming from the election desk. And we're going to spend more time on that as the story unfolds. On another day, I mean. But just the day before the election, you had the president on Fox and Friends. And I mean, he was berating the channel, Fox News, because of how it changed for the worse. And you wonder what the Murdochs were thinking while he was on their own network the day before. And then lo and behold, look at what happens the night of the election. Mr. DeSantis made a similar point we made yesterday on the show about how much of a disastrous night it was for all of the pollsters. Here's clip six.
This kind of political prognosticating polling industry has not gotten elections right since 2012. They got 2012 right that Barack Obama would be reelected. They did not predict 9 Senate seat gain in 2014. Clearly, they were wrong in 16. They missed huge races in 2018, including here in Florida. And they couldn't have missed this one, I think, any worse if you look at some of the things that were circulating over these last many weeks and months. And it's, you know, if you're that bad at your job, maybe some of these prognosticators should find another line of work, because I can't think of another line of work where you can be wrong so many times and then still be there to be able to offer analysis going forward.
They just keep getting it wrong time and time again, and yet people keep looking to them, and they stay in their comfortable, cushy little jobs, and they throw out for months, as I said yesterday, for months. It was a double-digit lead. For months, it was prepare for the blue wave. For months, we were told it was not even going to be close. And even with Biden's chances of stealing this, which has to make Democrats pretty happy, there's quite a few that are looking at what happened in this election already with respect to the Senate, Republicans holding control of the Senate, a majority, and then making some pretty significant gains in the House. This is a Democratic representative, Richie Torres. I think he was voted in, but he talked about just how disappointed he was with the night overall. Clip seven.
The results were profoundly disappointing, I have to be honest. I remain cautiously optimistic that Joe Biden will win the presidency. There are millions of mail-in ballots that have yet to be counted in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So Joe Biden has a much clearer path to reaching or surpassing 270 electoral votes than Donald Trump does. Having said that, it's profoundly disappointing that the Republicans will likely retain control of the Senate. And it's equally disappointing that the Democratic Party lost a few seats in the House. So the likely result is going to be divided government.
That's a Democrat talking about how disappointing this election was. There's some saying that Nancy Pelosi is going to lose her job as Speaker with this shakeup. The fact that they were supposed to go in and gain more seats, right? It's a blue wave. Sean Davis tweeted this out. Republicans have gained 6 net seats so far in the House, per the New York Times House tracker. Of the 40 races that are yet to be called, Democrats currently lead in 17, of which 15 are already held by Democrats. Fox News, so we've got 6, they say, he says. We've gained 6 seats, and it could be 6-8 more once it's finally completed. Yet, this is Sean Davis, Fox News projected that Democrats would gain at least 5 net seats. I remember seeing that early in the evening. Fox News calling it for the Democrats. They're gonna maintain control of the House. They're going to advance their lead. And it didn't turn out quite the way they predicted. Why did they make the prediction, though, so quickly? Why were they so quick to pull that trigger? Well, I mean, the polls told us, right? We knew going in. We knew Biden's going to win Florida, and we know they're going to make gains in the House. It's going to be interesting, too, to just find out more about that election desk, the people that were involved in that for Fox News. This is from one of our listeners. He writes, in the U.S., split-ticket voting is considered rare today. So how could the red team gain 11 seats in the House? And again, I don't know the final figure there. But how could they gain whatever the seats in the House, keep the Senate, and not lose a single state legislature? Yet President Trump does worse in 2020 than in 2016. How do you explain these numbers? You start doing the math and it looks pretty fishy. It says, how could an incumbent president win Florida by 3 points and Ohio by 8 points only to lose the election? Incumbent presidents have only lost 3 elections ever. It says Florida has backed the winning candidate since 1992. Ohio has backed the winning candidate since 1944, save one. Furthermore, winning Florida by a few points tends to be a bellwether for performance in the Rust Belt, but apparently not this year. Something literally does not add up. So how did this happen? An incredible victory in Florida. Then on to Ohio, and he just absolutely crushes it. He's right there in the Rust Belt. Then huge leads in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan right before everyone went to bed. Listen to Fox's Juan Williams again about the disappointment on election night, clip 8.
Well, I think for Democrats, it is a chastening moment. I mean, it's one of these mornings you wake up and you shake your head, Brett, because so many of the Democrats, I think, thought that there was the possibility of a blue wave last night.
That's the left-leaning Juan Williams. I think we've been chastened by this election. And yet, listen, they have hated and attacked this president for 4 years. You would think they would just be euphoric. And in some circles, I'm sure that they are. But they know. That's why you're seeing comments like that. They know this was a disaster for them. And so as a last resort, they came into it fully thinking that we're going to have a blue wave. I mean, this is Hitler we're running against. Look, he's a crook. And everybody hates him. We certainly hate him. And everybody, remember the Brian Stelter comment from Sunday? Whatever happens in this election, a majority of Americans, they still are going to know how terrible this man is. The bad orange man. They've been going on with this. I played the montage a few days ago. For 4 years, it's been like a broken record. And yet here they are. Here they are. They're about to displace Donald Trump, the Hitler of our times, the way they've been saying it. And yet, they're looking at the election on the whole, thinking and saying even, this really was a disaster. Listen to Van Jones over at CNN, clip 9.
I think a lot of Democrats are hurt tonight. I think there's a lot of hurt out there. There's a moral victory and there's a political victory. They're not the same thing. The political victory still may come. We wanted to see a repudiation of this direction for the country. And the fact that it's this close, I think, it hurts. It just hurts. I think people got their hopes up looking at those polls.
They sure did. They thought it was just going to be a total repudiation of all things Trump. And it was far from that. You read between the lines of those clips there, and it tells you the story. It tells you all that you need to know. They were expecting a blue wave, and the wave turned out to be very much red. And then that's when several states colluding together, several big cities, I should say, in certain states, they just stopped counting. Well, now, we better stop counting. This was the insurance policy. Here again, it's like the strategy springs from Peter Strzok's mind. It was supposed to be 100 million to one. But just in case it doesn't go our way, well, we've got to be prepared to cheat. My father wrote in Saving America from the Radical Left, temporarily, he said, we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. We're getting a hard look at that. A look at what they're willing to do. You look at some of the other articles we've had at the Trumpet or booklets. My father has No Freedom Without Law. That's got a section in there about the disastrous 2000 election between George Bush and Al Gore. And then 18 years ago, Justice and Our Evolving Constitution. These are some old classics. My father wrote one in December of 2000, The Real Election Crisis. And he says here, the Florida vote scandal, he's writing about Bush-Gore, The Florida vote scandal will poison our political system more than any scandal of the past 8 years. He talked about a warring spirit between the two sides. And then he says, this painful truth portends a black future for America unless we make some serious changes. It's quite the prescient prediction. That's at the Trumpet in December of 2000. You look at the one Joel Hilliker wrote last year. There's a lot that really, if you have been reading the Trumpet pretty regularly for 20 years, there's a lot about this that's not surprising at all. I want to get in this as much as I can. This is Andy McCarthy's piece about the Supreme Court just backing away from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court changing the rules just before the election. And I think this is important going forward since it looks like it's going to be a massive tug of war in the courts. He says here, the latest talking point in the election coverage, which I have seen or heard in several places today, is that the Supreme Court has validated the mail-in depot drop and ballot counting procedures that have been ginned up by state courts and election board bureaucrats. This is wrong. This is wrong. The Supreme Court has not validated anything. It has abdicated. It didn't do what it should have done before the election. That's true. But it did not validate it. Which means it's not fully resolved. It's not resolved at all. That's why the president on election night said, we're going to the Supreme Court. This is fraud. They're trying to steal the election. We won this fair and square. And what's the controversy coming out of that night? What the president said. How dare, even from his own party of all things, Rubio and Chris Christie. They can't believe it. Why, if there's rampant cheating and it comes from the radical left, you just surrender and walk away because, I mean, bottom line, you got to make sure you're trying to reach out to the media. You don't want the media to attack you. You want them to think you're wonderful. So they don't fight. Only one man, like my father has said, has proven himself to stand up against this. McCarthy says this distinction needs to be made clearly. The narrative that the Supreme Court has already authorized voting and that does not comply with state election laws is just part one in the two-step scheme to enable post-election cheating. First, infiltrate as many illegal ballots as possible into the state systems. Second, keep chanting that every vote counts. And demagogue anyone who says otherwise, i.e. anyone who insists that state statutory law be followed as suppressing votes, no doubt motivated by racism. McCarthy says the Orwellian narrative is already being written. To call for the Constitution to be enforced is to steal the election. This is exactly what my father was writing about 20 years ago. What happens? What happens when you do away with the Constitution? He said in that one article from 20 years ago, these leaders don't love the Constitution the way that they should. That's why we have all these problems. McCarthy says in Pennsylvania, as I detail in The Hill, Attorney General Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, brays about having beaten the Trump campaign in court. That's only true when it comes to the state courts. And unsurprisingly so, Pennsylvania's judges are elected with Democrats controlling the state's highest court. It says, by contrast, the only thing Shapiro has won in the U.S. Supreme Court is time. Uh-oh. You mean if they get to the end of the road, this might actually be ruled in Donald Trump's favor? You add to this what happened before the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, right on the eve of trumpets, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a hero on the left, she dies, and before the election, incredibly, you get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed. All that he has, or all that he has bought, is time. It says here, here it says, that helps Democrats politically, but shouldn't matter legally. To be clear, the Pennsylvania courts post November 3 ballot counting case has not been validated. If the election is close and those ballots could affect the outcome, there will be bitterly contested litigation. Bank on it. Bank on it. There's going to be litigation. And in McCarthy's view, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward. If the election is closed, those calling for the laws to be enforced will be defamed as stealing the election, while rioters turn street demonstrations violent across the country. And the Supreme Court, having failed to affirm state legislated rules before the election, will have to make post-election rulings amid the conflagration. There are hard days ahead. You see, everyone loses in the end. Well, that's all that we have time for. I'll have to get into that McCarthy piece a bit more tomorrow. And other things, too. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email us, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.